Adam Morrison here. When it comes to top-tier contracting, my go-to choice is McGilvery Environmental. They're not just any contractor. They're the best in Spokane and North Idaho. With years of experience, they handle it all. New construction, meticulous repairs, and asphalt overlays. From start to finish, they ensure your project is completed with the highest quality end results. And here's the scoop for this year. McGilvery Environmental has expanded its services to include asphalt paving. That means top-notch commercial parking lots, residential driveways, and road construction. So, ready to kickstart your project? Reach out to Kip at McGilvery Environmental by calling 208-556-6384 for your free estimate. Don't forget to mention my name, Adam from the Perimeter, and experience the difference that McGilvery Environmental brings to the table. Again, that's 208-556-6384, McGilvery Environmental. My number one choice for all my contracting needs. The Perimeter would like to thank our sponsor, HDG Architecture. HDG is a Spokane-based architectural firm whose aesthetic can be described as an understatement of badassery, an idea that sets the standard for their approach to every client and every project decision. The world is full of poorly designed spaces, and HDG wants to change that. Check out some of their award-winning work at studiohdg.com. Welcome to The Perimeter, Season 3, Episode 15, sponsored by McGilvery Environmental. Good week. We're going to recap multiple games. We talked a little bit about Ben Gray going in the starting lineup, but I want to touch on that a little bit. Has had a good run as a starter. I think it's really helped us schematically. And then talk about probably the biggest game of the year in conference, obviously, with St. Mary's coming to town 7-0. We're obviously one game behind them. It'll be a huge swing for us if we can get that win, and then it'll help us in the net ranking, hopefully. We're going to talk about bracketology. Lenardi still has us out. Fox has his first four out. I'll get, you know, my opinion on that, my take on that. Talk about the AP coaches poll that we're not in yet, and then the net, which is always something that we have to monitor, especially in the position we are. 31 right now, which is not a bad place to be. I think traditionally, if you're in the top 40, you usually get in that large bid. But then, like I just mentioned, Fox and Lenardi have us as one of the first four teams out. But I trust those websites. They're pretty good, and they're historically pretty good. And then we got some listener questions. Did you go to the game last night?
I didn't. My son had a basketball practice, and I was like, 8 o'clock start tip is late. But I wish I would have been there. I was like, I should have just gone and just made it, because it looked like a blast.
Yeah, it was great energy. Students are obviously back, but the energy was fantastic. And we played as good as we played all season. You know, we flew around that first half. They hung with us for a little bit, but it was just one of those games that you kind of felt like they didn't have a prayer after about the first 10 minutes, up 16 and a half. I'm going to talk about a defensive subject that we don't usually do a lot. We're decent defensively, but I've mentioned it in the past, and I talk about it a lot on the broadcast. If you watched the game last night, we switched all their ball screen and screen away action except on Dom Harris. You know, we just fought and got through it. Normally this year with Braden and especially Graham, we've had a show package, either a drop, hard show, and then a traditional tag from the weak side. So if you're listening and you're kind of wondering what I'm talking about, normally when you play ball screen coverages, in the past it used to be a traditional big guy and you always had to show hard or drop, and your guard had to do everything, and it really made it hard because the guys on the weak side had to chug the roller if your guy was showing, and then you leave the corner, and then that gave up ghost cuts. Remember, Joel was really good at ghost cutting, so that's what a ghost cut is, right, from the corner side. And in the last 5-6 years, we've switched everything, and just think how good defensively we've been in the last 5-7 years, right? Yeah. With Chet's group, with obviously BC and Rui's group was like one of the most elite. Corey's group, right? Mm-hmm. Where we just switched everything and played through that. Well, we did that first all year last night with Graham, and I thought he was fantastic, and look how much it messed up all of their, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their actions. And so why I bring it up is like, I think we're going to do that the rest of the year. And it showed that we can. Now, is it going to be as elite as the other, those groups I just mentioned? No. But I think it solves some of our issues defensively that we might have. Like some of the mistakes get minimized, especially for the young players, like a Dusty or even a Braden. So I was really impressed and happy that they went to that. You could tell LMU was completely flummoxed on what to do. And what it does is it takes away the small disorganization or the little gaps or advantages that you get in the ball screen coverages. So instead of having to tag or Graham being away from the basket, he just switches, you know, gets in a stance and guards a guy for 3-4 dribbles, and then that's it, right? And the easy thing on that situation is every big guy that we've had that has been successful here, all the guys that can do that were pro that turned into pro prospects. Okay, so you go Domus, could do it, right? BC, obviously, Rui. Obviously, Zach Collins could do it. Chet was like a lead at it, and people would try to switch, and they'd be like, "Oh, I'm just going to go buy this guy." And he's like, "Nope." You know what I mean? He uses length, and he would, you know. But like, you have to do it. My point is like, so you go to Graham and you say, "Hey, if you want to play at the next level, potentially, you have to be able to guard a guy for 3-4 dribbles, 5 seconds, and it's an easy like, all right, I better figure this out." So I was really impressed with that schematic change. Now, will we do it all season? No. But it's nice to show that we can do it. You know, like, think of the guys who've struggled in that, you know, situation. It's hard for them to find a place in the league. Kelly could do it, right?
Shimmick couldn't do it.
Drew was okay at it, but it was hard for him. But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
And so it really, really helps you in you know, that's going to last throughout the season, just that, to have that in your back pocket. But it really messed up LMU. I didn't think they were prepared for that because we haven't shown it all year. And then their defense, a scheme in the against the pick and roll was interesting. They were switching and trying to dive, like downhill switch and smash. And I think of the first 5 pick and roll actions we ran, we got a dunk. We got 2 layups. We got a foul. And I think we got a corner 3 out of it. And like, it was just, they didn't have any answer. So I was really impressed with the game last night. The best part about that game was obviously sharing the basketball. We have 19 assists, only 5 turnovers, 12 steals. We forced 20 of theirs. But how we started and how we came out the second half, that's been kind of an issue. In the previous games, I'll talk about Pacific here shortly, and I'll give some numbers for people that were freaking out watching that game. People have short memories, man. Like, it's nuts. But yeah, it was fun in there. Not that it hasn't been, but it was super fun. We were like making those type of like zag plays, getting out and running, layups, dunks, guys sharing the basketball. Nolan was fantastic, had a career high 24, 10 of 15 from the field, 4-7 from downtown. Graham only in 22 minutes, 8 of 9, 20 points. Anton in 28 minutes, 4-4, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, no turnovers, 3 steals, fantastic. Ben Gregg again, 11 and 5, 4-5 from the field in only 20 minutes. Nemhard didn't have his best game but was under control. You know, sometimes he just, you know, he didn't play bad, but it was other people's night. Braden was good off the bench, 4 of 8, 10 points, 5 rebounds. You know, so it was a game that everybody kind of got to play, and we got off the floor preparing for. I know it was going to be a long week, but we got a good prep time for St. Mary's coming into town. Did a good job on their best players. Dom Harris, you know, played here for 2 years. Averaging 15, shooting 43% from 3. We did a really good job on him. He's 4-13, only had 11 points, 0 assists, 4 turnovers. So he had 0 in the first half. So kind of felt bad for him too, because, you know, the transfer was the right thing to do, because he probably wasn't going to play much this year if Steele didn't get hurt, right? The people are like, well, he was probably just like, well, Steele was in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it probably would have been the same situation. Not that he's not a good player. It's just one of those, you just don't fit. Maybe. and he's having a great season at LMU. But I want, you know, I felt bad because that first half he didn't play good. So I kind of was like, I want the kid to have some success. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You're like,
there has to be some nerves there. Like
100%. Yeah. And he's a nice kid. His family was nice and they're nice people. You know what I mean? There's no ill will, but mm-hmm. It's just like, you feel bad when a kid's not like, you don't want him to go bonkers, but you're also like, man, you know, 4 turnovers, 0 points first half. You're like, mm-hmm. So when he made his first shot on the air, I was like, yes. You know what I mean? Like, for right. real.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
not,
yeah.
Not a pity thing, but it's just like, you don't want a kid to, you know, because there is a lot of nerves and all that mm-hmm. stuff. And I'm sure some of the students probably were saying things that were not very nice. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. It's just like, I was glad that he scored and got 11 in the second half and yeah. played better. But it was fantastic. I mean, we lost on the glass, but it doesn't matter. We ended up winning by... was at 34.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great game. So I was really impressed, pleased. That's a tricky team to play against. 7-15 from three. So 46%. Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought it was our best game energy-wise all season, especially first half, second half starts, like I mentioned. Really good, you know, kind of a potential to be quote unquote a trap game or what everybody talks about.
Well, I think because LMU had played St. Mary's really close on Saturday. And I mean, everyone's looking at St. Mary's as being the team to beat right now in WCC. And I think people were thinking like this could be another close game, especially after the last two games.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting a slow start against this team might have hurt us, but I mean, I think at one time they had 11 turnovers in the first like 10 minutes.
Yeah, we like I said, the switching,
they
weren't prepared for it. What it does too, it makes you get through your third and fourth action. And if you're not prepared for it, and then usually your third or fourth option or action is not your best ones, mm-hmm. usually your first two. So sometimes you're throwing it to guys that you don't want to throw the ball and then be like, oh, there's a mismatch. Like, yeah, but you're throwing it to your fourth best scorer. Against maybe if he's a post, he's going against a guard, but he's not very good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like that's where it tricks people into thinking that they're getting advantages and when they're really not. Like even at the AU level, like for high school, I switched almost everything and it just messes teams up. They're not used to it.
It's
like, what? It's unfair. You're supposed to show and then we get, you know, my girl can turn the corner. You know what I mean? It's like, no, you just switch until everybody to body up and make them take a tough contested two, and off we go.
Yeah.
So I was really impressed with the defense overall, and it was a great atmosphere. It felt good in there. Let's go to the Pacific game real quick. Now, we end up being down 1.5, and, you know, if you get online, and I'm not a big message board guy, really not, but, like, you know, I like at the bottom of the Zag website or the Zag Instagram account, you'll see some of the comments and someone's just like, geez, man, or like, you know, all stuff on Facebook. And the 17 team was down by 7, I think, down there. That went to the national championship game.
Mm-hmm.
21 team was down at halftime there.
Huh.
Huddy said a stat last night, I think in the 6 of the last 7 years, we either tied or down at halftime there. And we end up winning by 9. Great second half. Nolan Hickman was fantastic. Again, had 19 points. Graham EK as well had 20. Ben Gregg, 13-8. Fantastic. We just don't match up or we just play bad down there.
Mm.
We won by 9 last year there too.
Yeah.
So like everybody was like, and it's funny when people are like, St. Mary's just beat him by 48, which they just did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We just beat LMU by, what did I just say, 34?
37, yeah.
37?
Yeah.
Okay. Right?
Yeah.
Hold on. But LMU beat, or St. Mary's beat LMU by a combined 9 points. So it's always just like, well, why aren't we killing this team? Well, why didn't St. Mary's blow out LMU? We just blew out LMU.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, my point is, like, sometimes I get the fan stuff, but sometimes it's so dumb that you're like, man, you shouldn't be allowed to comment on anything. Seriously, you're a moron.
I agree. Yeah, no,
it's like you're an idiot.
I think it's just that fans have become so complacent in that Gonzaga should always be in the tournament.
Yes.
We should always be blowing out teams. They look at like net rankings and they see that Pacific is, you know, 354 and like probably one of the worst teams. But then, I mean, all these kids playing, they're all, I mean, they're going to college to play basketball. Like, it's, yeah, they're all talented players.
And I've said this a million times, this is not a hot take, but like, our game's their Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I know that's so cliche, but it's true.
Yeah.
And it's also like, sometimes matchups and styles matter.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, we just don't play good down there, but we win.
Mm.
So, yeah, like all those teams I just mentioned were fantastic. I mean, Elite Eight last year, then two national championship runner-ups, and they struggled about Pacific. And those teams, you know, are probably more talented than these.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, sometimes I just had to mention that. It's like, dude, for some reason we don't play good down there, but we still get wins. Who cares? Move on. And so, you know, and again, sometimes those games are good because you have to play through anxiety. You have to make plays. And you play a style. They just play weird down there. Just four out, five out, and then they zoned us. And then they just, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And like guys kind of play out of their minds. And so, you know, that's pretty much the recap of that game. I thought we were fantastic on the glass, plus 14, but I just had to throw that out. And it's like, dude, for some reason we don't play good there, but it's a W and we get the hell out of there.
Right.
Who cares? You know what I mean? And so I think, like I said, people have short memories. I understand it's good that we have fans. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
But also sometimes it's like, dude, you have to look at the totality, and also you can't just go, well, St. Mary's beat them by 48. What the heck is wrong with us? And it's like, well, like I said, St. Mary's only beat both games by a combined 9 points.
Mm-hmm.
LMU, and we just blew LMU out, and we put in our backups, like backups at the 7-10 mark. So if we really kept everybody in, we could have been 40 or 50.
Mm-hmm.
Easy. So, yeah, it was it's always funny reading those stuff, and it's just like, people are dumb.
People,
you know, I mean that in the nicest way.
Keyboard warriors.
Yeah. And so, you know, and again, you can have a critical opinion all day long. This is what this show tries to be about sometimes too, is, you know, having me tell it like it is, you know, but like some of it's just so dumb and so like juvenile of the logic. It's like, well, we should be killing them. They suck. It's like, yeah, sometimes people play out of their mind. Like you mentioned, they're Division I basketball players. This is the only time they're going to have, like, fans in there at the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're a little bit hyped.
Yeah.
And they know it's Gonzaga and blah, blah, blah. And for some reason, we always, you know, that road trip, we have to fly in the night before. And we just, you know, play. It's just a weird trip. You can't go out anywhere. It's a weird part of town, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. But anyway, it's an overall good week. Obviously, the San Francisco.
The Perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
You're feeding it.
I will. I promise.
Thanks to our Premier Rewards Visa credit card from ICCU, we earned enough cash back to stock up on puppy supplies.
But we don't have a puppy.
They're very convincing children.
As an overall good week, obviously the San Francisco game we didn't cover. I know that was probably, what, now 10 days ago?
Yeah.
Really good game. San Francisco was in the 50s in the net. So it ended up being, you know, it could be potentially a really good win for us. We ended up winning 77-72. Had to make plays down the stretch. If my memory serves, probably midway through the second half, we went on a nice run to get up like 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came back in that last 4 minutes. No, actually, it was the 2.5 minute mark they started fouling. And they're a big analytic team. They have been since Kyle Smith was there, and then he left, and then obviously Todd Golden, who left. But they really believe in analytics. I like their program. They're 15-6, 4-2 now this year. But they started fouling at 2.5. A lot of teams, like if you're down 12 in that spot, just kind of give up.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, all right. And they got back into when, you know, where the game was in like 3, and we had to make free throws down the stretch, and it got anxiety and a lot of groans and stuff in the building after that, you know, during that time. So I like those games though, because I think it puts equity in the bank for us as far as, hey, you made free throws and anxiety, and we had to run a press break, and you had to, you know, meet the pass and all that stuff. And you know, our guys did good. And Ben Gregg was fantastic again. Graham EK was fantastic. I think it's 7 out of the last 8. He's either scored 19 or more.
Wow.
In his games. So he's playing like he should. And he put 2 halves together last game. Didn't do it against Pacific. Had a great second half. But he's finally, you know, being like more consistent. He's been good all season, but he's being like really consistent inside. Anton was great, 15-7. Nemhard was good, 13-6 assists. And then Nolan was all right that game, but I mentioned the last two, he's been great. So mm-hmm. Our guys are playing good. I think, again, having Ben Gregg in the starting lineup, he started 5 games. He's averaging double figures, which is great. So the move obviously was the right one. And you always like when a kid is makes the most of their opportunity. Mm-hmm. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think it's the perfect deal for us to have him in the starting lineup. Dusty's played okay. Actually, Dusty played good the last 2 games previous to last night. Banged in some threes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think it's the right thing to do. Yeah, he just gives us those energy plays and figures out a way to score without having to run plays for him and that type of situation. So I was really impressed with him these last 5 games going into that starting lineup, starting at Pepperdine on the road. I think we're headed in the right direction. St. Mary's is going to be really tough. Obviously, our conference rival. I've had a really good turnaround of the season. 16-6 at one time, I think I saw they were like 3-5.
Yeah, at the start of the year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They were really struggling. You know, they lost to Weber State by 4, lost to San Diego State, who we lost to, but mm-hmm. they lost by 25. That game got blown out. Xavier, they got blown out by 17, then lost to Utah by 7. Boise State got them. Mm. Shout out to Leon Rice. But they were just really struggling to put things together, and then they figured it out. Coming into conference, so they've won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games in a row.
Yeah.
Going back to Kent State, which is always a good win. It's going to be an interesting one in the kennel. We should have good energy. Obviously, Mahaney's probably their best player. The little point guard's averaging 14.5. Digging through his numbers right now, not great though. If you really look at it, 39% from the field on 284 attempts, and how many games is that? 22. Mm-hmm. 35 from 3, 81 from the free throw line, but
Great. I'm looking at all the like stats. Like they just must play really good team ball because nothing's like really sticking out to me. Like
that's how they are.
Yeah, and that's just how they've always.
That's how they are. There's never like a guy that really, at least as long as I've been doing this mm-hmm. deal, was, you know, obviously Della Dova and Patty Mills were great players in Landale. You know, Landale's probably the one that I've called. But, I mean, if you look at the team stats, they're 45 from the field, not great. 32 from threes, obviously not great. It's kind of in our territory. We're at probably 33, 34 now. They shoot under 70. From free throw line, that's not great. Mm. Rebounds is really good, plus 12 on average. They're scoring 72.5, but then look at their defensive numbers. 57.5 points per, holding teams to 38 and then 30 from three. That's where they make their pay. Mm-hmm. And they're always like that, but usually their numbers are a little bit better than this. But some of these could be skewed at the start of the year. They just didn't make shots at the start of the year, too. I was actually listening to a little snippet on one of their deals, and Randy Bennett was talking. I was like, we didn't like hate where we were. We just weren't shooting it good. Mm-hmm. And now we're making shots and voila, you know what I mean? And I've talked about that a lot. It's a make, you know, the old expression, it's a make or miss league. It's an NBA expression. It's so true. Sometimes you just don't make shots and everybody's like, what are you doing? It's like, we've been running the same plays that we ran 5 years ago and they all work. This ball's not going in the cup mm-hmm. and that matters. So it'll be tough. They're going to play really slow as they always do. Obviously, they're 7-0 in conference. So if we get this win, we'll be tied in the loss column with them. And then I don't know about the tiebreakers, but the biggest key is to get that first two seeds. What's their net? Let's look real quick. Yeah, 21. So we're at 31. If we get this win, this can turn into a quad one win.
Yeah.
And if you can, you know, not looking ahead, but if you can get two, obviously, and then another one against San Francisco, those are two in the top 55, let's just say, and one top 25. That could really help you for a tournament resume if it comes down to bubble type of situation. That could help you be like, hey, actually, we're, you know, better. We just struggled in November and December, blah, blah, blah. You know, I think the thing with St. Mary's is you got to be really good in your ball screen coverages. I remember last year we tried to long show, it's called, where you go with Mahaney for two or three dribbles and let your guy get over the top and then rotate back. And remember that last 8 minutes of that game down there? He just killed us. He had like 15 in that last 8 minutes. So I'm curious if we're going to go to a switch. I don't know. And I just talked about how great it was, but he's a little bit different. I wouldn't be surprised if we just, I think last year, we went the second game and the third game. We played him in Vegas. We just trapped him and just got out of his hands and lived with, you know, playing 3-on-4 on the backside defensively. Because some of their guys are not programmed to shoot out of those, or they're, you know, they're just not as good to catch and shoot out of a trap with an advantage. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's what we do, is trap and get it out of his hands. He's only had one good game against us. He's a fantastic player, but I think sometimes he can shoot them out of games too. He takes a lot of tough. If you get a body on him, he's a thin kid. Get a body on him and make him take tough twos. He can struggle where he has, you know, some 4-for-17s and stuff like that, 5-for-15s. But you have to dominate the inside, and then you also have to play at your pace. Marcelonis has been much better this year, averaging almost 12. And then Mitchell Saxon, the kid inside, he's usually viewed as kind of just a oaf, I guess is the way to put it. But he's actually having a good season, 11 points per game. But they always have a big, and they play 35 minutes, 28 to 35 minutes, and he's that guy this year. But it's so weird. They always, every player, like they have the same players at the same positions every year, if that makes sense. There's no nuance ever. There's always one huge big. There's always a really good guard. There's a decent two guard, always a decent two guard that's going to give you 8 to 12. And then everybody else is just strictly role. And they know, but they play their role exactly how they want to play it. And you know exactly what they're going to run. They run the same, like, four actions, and that's it.
Do they have an Australian?
I think Mitchell. Yeah, you're right. I think Dukas is.
Dukas, yeah. Because they always fit those roles. They always have a couple of Australians on their team.
Yeah, they have some Australians and. But a really good basketball team. They really are. And it's going to be paramount that we come out with a lot of energy and play hard, obviously, and hopefully our crowd is good as it was last night. But I've been really impressed with how we've been playing lately, honestly. And it's not just because we're getting wins. It's, you know, we're having better second halves. I mentioned the energy last night. We're shooting it much better. I mean, Nembhard's, the stat was 13-25 in conference play from three.
Wow.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. So you're going to have to tip your cap because we harped on it during the year. Right. Mm-hmm. So then when he's playing good, I got to mention it and be fair. So he's really shooting the ball at the right, good at the right time. Nolan was fantastic last night over the last stretch. Let's see. So 3-of-8 against Pacific. What was he last night? Was it 4-for-7 or something?
Yeah.
So was that 7-of-15? Pretty good stretch.
That's really
right?
Good stretch,
46%. Yeah. So, guys are making shots in volume, and you know, I'm really excited where this team can go. And I've talked about it before. Obviously, you want to win in November and December, but nobody cares if you go on the totality of it. And perfect example is that Pacific game. Is why aren't they blowing this team out? And then you just go, oh yeah, the 17 team and the 21 team, and then you just, like Fuey talked about it on one of the interviews I was listening to real quick, and I was like, oh. Okay, you know what I mean? Like, he's just like, we don't play good down there. I don't know what it is, but we win and we get out of there. So
it's when I watch it on TV, that gym, I mean, it looks terrible. Like a high school gym.
It's a it looks like, and this is no disrespect, but it looks like a JUCO gym.
Yeah,
my dad coached JUCO, and it looks like all the gyms like concrete,
mm-hmm.
wood bleachers, and then just like no life to it.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
I mean, I couldn't, like, going from like playing at the kennel, playing in big arenas, and then like going and playing in the place that, like, that has to like change your mentality a little bit.
Yeah,
like, and but you, because you never played at like Pacific wasn't in the WCC, but like, but there are, I mean, there are teams that like, yeah, yeah, it's just a different vibe. It's just, I can't, yeah, yeah, and that has to be part of it.
Yeah.
You know, there was one stat that really stuck out to me about St. Mary's this last, is that they held Pacific to 28 points.
It is crazy.
That is a crazy number. That's like a high school number.
Yeah,
it like is. 28 points.
Yeah, no, that is a wild number.
And
exactly right.
So that their defense is going to be, I mean, the games are always different. Like versus being at the kennel versus being down there in Moraga, yeah. But like, because I know we never really played that well down there, but getting this first one and beating them would give Gonzaga so much more momentum going into the rest of the season.
100%, and then you're obviously in tied for first, and mm-hmm. then puts the pressure back on them not to slip out of that first or second spot, because that spot's going to really, really matter this year. It's, you know, having to win two games instead of three at the West Coast Conference tournament. So
mm-hmm.
I was really, like I said, really impressed. Looking forward to this one. I think the biggest key is pace and then what you do against Mahaney. And like I said, I would be surprised if we would go to that trap scenario that we did to him last year, really bothering him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we're headed in the right direction. Still a lot of basketball yet to be played, but we're peaking at the right time, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Fiwi said it a million times, not just me. He's like, you gotta celebrate wins any way you get them with this year's crew. And that's not a knock, but he literally said that on one of the radio shows, the Mark Few radio show. He's just like, let's calm down here, everybody, a little bit. He's like, we won by 9. I know everybody's freaking out, but we won and we're in second place. Let's keep on going, right?
I mean, like, this short-term memory loss, like, just forget about it, like, and move on to the next. I think that's the key in all sports is, like, if you can't especially dwell on wins when you win. You just gotta
so true.
Like, who does that? Like, even as a fan, like,
I know.
When we escape games like we have this year, like, I'm happy that we got through it and that we can move on to our next game. But it's just having, like, dwelling on the team, like, playing close is just like, it's such a weird mentality.
It is a weird
mentality. It's a loser's mentality, in my opinion.
I agree 100%. It's a loser's mentality, and it's also like an uninformed mentality too. Like, you're saying that you think you know what you're talking about, but you really don't.
Mm.
Because it's like, so you have to win by 25 to feel satisfied. Like, this is not an over under gambling deal here, but right. You know what I mean? So anyway, I'm happy for the guys. They've played well in stretches and starting to play with a lot of energy and making threes, and hopefully it continues. Like I said, big game on Saturday. So we'll talk about that obviously next week. Do you got a listener question?
Well, I want to real quick about bracketology. I mean, there's not really much to say. Lenardi has continues to have us as the first four out. The question I had about that, though, is when this weekend, how much does that change? And I know we're not bracketology experts, but I imagine it will help us at least get into the either next four in or like maybe even into the tournament. I think
it's a good question.
I mean, it obviously it doesn't matter because we got to just keep on winning and we got to win the tournament at the end of the season. But I, like you, we've said, we're on the right track.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, I think San Francisco is another opportunity, like I mentioned earlier. And then these two St. Mary's games. I think if you get those and you win out, I think it puts you into the first last four in or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have never had to dive into that stuff, right? We never had to, and that's, you know, I'm not trying to be funny, but we just never had. It was always, were we a one seed, or were we a two seed, or were we a three seed? You know what I mean? So hopefully we just keep playing good hoops.
Yeah.
And then get to the tournament, just go win two games in Vegas, guys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just go win two games in Vegas, and then everybody will, you know, nobody will have that fear, and then you can just play free in the NCAA tournament with no expectations. That's a pretty good feeling to have as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not saying people think you're going to get balanced, but, like, you can just go let it rip. Mm. But we got to get there, and we can't assume.
Yeah.
And that's very true. And you know, at the same time, like, we're 16-5.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and two of our losses are against two top five teams that are probably have a chance to be in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously. Yeah. So, like, let's remember that part. And then San Diego State's really good. That, like, the loss that stings, the two are obviously Washington and Santa Clara.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, the Washington game, if you go back and watch that, you're like, man, we literally should have won that. And then Santa Clara, we have a front end, a 1-on-1 up one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, if you win those two, then what, we're 18-4.
18-4, yeah.
And then the whole tenor of the you know, this podcast changes, right?
Yeah.
So, sometimes I gotta be the voice that pushes back a little bit. And I love that we have great fans and people that care. And I try to pride myself on honesty. We talk about it on off camera or whatever about this show. It's like, we don't want to just be a layup line for go Zay, you know what I mean? Like, we want to tell it like how we see it, but also, like, sometimes it's like, hey guys, we're not dog shit, so let's stop acting like we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that part gets, and that's when I get to be like, oh, hold on here, right?
Yeah,
let's calm down. And so we always have to kind of push back a little bit and give guys credit, you know, when they're playing better. Like, I think Nembhard's playing better in conference play. Nolan obviously is. Graham Ek's really stepped. Okay, they're playing at the right time. Do you want to play them their best ball in November or February, March?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, so that's where, you know, where we're at. Oh, we got a quick mention. Luka Krenovich.
Yeah.
Played last night. I think that's just going to help have it in the back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
For minutes for a guard situation, especially if a guy gets in a weird spot. I think it takes pressure off if you get in a weird spot where if Dusty's not playing good or if you want to trust a matchup, you have Luka now that you can put in off the bench instead of just Dusty. So that part's nice as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he came back from a hand injury, had that freak accident at UConn. In Seattle, it was so weird. He just literally hurt himself in like a passing drill or something. But it's nice to see him, and it's nice to see him score a couple, get 4 points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just mm-hmm. see the anxiety. All right, you know, it's just like, good job.
Yeah.
He's a nice kid. Talked to his dad. His dad came to who we played in the arena? Pepperdine,
yeah.
Yeah, and it was cool, you know, because I played over in... They're Croatian, but I played over in Belgrade, so like it's kind of fun talking to those people just for a little bit.
Did his dad play? Did his?
I didn't ask them that, but they were just nice people.
Yeah,
you know, he was
for
a nice
sure.
dude. You know what I mean? So, what's the listener question?
I got this question. The Perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Hey, it's Olive. I just got my first ICCU debit card. Now I just need some money in my account. If only there was someone who could transfer in some allowance.
Wow.
What's the listener question?
I got this question. We never talk about the guys that come in at the end of the game because mm-hmm. They always come in. There's always been guys for Gonzaga that just come in the last like 2 minutes of the game. Fans get into it when they when they can play and get a shot. And someone asked, why does Joe Few get more run than June? And I was just gonna say, like, I feel like it's a difference between trying to like have a guy on the like a practice player and trying to develop a player.
Yeah, that's like, a good question.
Yeah, what is your opinion on it? Or not-
well, I let's just be fair. I think June has a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a great motor. He's a great athlete, had a great FIBA tournament, whatever that was. And that's those things matter, but mm-hmm. that's kind of where his stock rose.
Yeah.
But I think he's just in a doghouse.
Yeah.
And okay. I don't know that for sure, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. It's pretty obvious because they don't even look to him in any game. And then you know, obviously Joe, but Joe's Coach Few's son too, and he's a junior.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's just putting him in as a freshman. He's begun 2 years, and that's kind of how Few he does with the walk-ons. Like once they get to be juniors and seniors, then they put him in, right?
Yeah.
You kind of have to earn your deal. And so there's not like nepotism going on, but I think this June is like deep in the doghouse.
I mean,
whatever that is.
Anytime June gets on the floor, he goes way too fast.
I know.
He turns the ball over.
I know. He's trying to do too much.
He's trying to do too much.
It's just too much. And it's like, dude, you just need to like sometimes catch the ball and throw it to the next guy and cut. And then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've been in that spot many times. It's not fun. And trying to come in at the end of the game and look good. So I'm going to throw that out to people. Like, it's not very fun when you've sat cold for 38 minutes and game time, real time is probably an hour and a half or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you have to come in, and if you miss your one shot, you suck. And everybody thinks you suck. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I got to be fair to them that. But something's going on during practice or whatever.
Yeah.
He's not even getting sniffed at. It's kind of like, feels like, remember Efton had that first deal last year where he was playing, and then it was the Purdue game where he didn't. And then after that, it was like, we're done.
Yeah, and then he transferred,
And then he transferred, and he's actually playing good at Wake Forest. But it was like, he's gotten the doghouse, couldn't get out of it. Nobody's told me that, but I know how this thing works. And when you're not even getting looked at, like in certain situations, not just at the end of the game, but like in spots where, like, all right, foul trouble, you know, Anton's got three, Ben Gregg's got three, Braden can't move against this matchup, Dusty hasn't played good, Dusty, go it, you know what I mean? Like, where you're just like, oh, this might be a June moment. Nope. You know what I'm saying? So that's a great listener question. You know, but I think he's just so far in the doghouse. And then again, like I said, this is being real. Like if you look at our walk-ons in the past, nobody has, but I've been around it. Juniors and senior guys get in.
Yeah.
And obviously the last name on your jersey when it's your dad coaching helps a little bit too. Like, and I would do the same thing. Like, why not?
He's been in the program since he was a baby.
100%. And this is his third year.
Yeah.
So he's earned it
totally.
to check in. And that's not even because I, you know, mean fewer friends. That's not even me just saying that. It's how he's always done it.
Yeah.
With every single walk on, like which the Erasmore kid that's the walk-on now, that I guarantee he will not play in a game this year because he's a freshman.
Yeah.
He will not play in zero. We could be up 65. Will not play. But he might play maybe next year, but I doubt it. But his junior and senior year, they'll put him in the game. So it's just kind of how it works. But, good show, man. Good recap. Great week for our guys. St. Mary's is going to be a fun one. We'll have that recap. And then preview for next week. Who do we got next week? I haven't even looked.
We have Portland on Wednesday.
Okay, yeah,
Portland. At home. And then we head to Lexington, Kentucky face Kentucky.
Yeah, so. I looked at my flight schedules, started pouting already. It's crazy. I think we get into Lexington at like 1 o'clock. Oh my God.
On Friday?
Something like that.
Oh, wow.
Sucks.
Yeah.
But there's obviously no direct.
Yeah.
No. And then even if, you know what I'm saying, but it's just also like, I know that's the SEC country, but it's like, this would be like in Big 12. I'm like,
yep.
I'd be hanging her up if that's the case. You know, that's a lot of travel. That gets old after a while. But anyway, that's going to be a great opportunity. Obviously, hopefully we get two straight wins and then going to that game feeling good about ourselves. We can go to that game. You know, with nothing to lose, quote unquote. So that's a good feeling. But we boat raced them last year. I just have a feeling we'll talk about it. I'll talk about it at length.
Yeah.
Calipari and stuff like that next week. But that has the makings of getting homered before you even walk in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like their officials, Cal, they're riled up. We boat raced them last year. That has a feeling of Graham EK's got three fouls in 3 minutes, and so does Ben Gregg. And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
four travels were called, and it's it's 6-2 in the fouls in the first 13 minutes, or first 7 minutes, 13 minutes. Oh, you're in the bonus.
I was going to ask you about this, because this happened, like you said, 10 days ago. San Francisco, what was going on with the refereeing in that game?
Oh, it was awful.
It was just
bad. There were so many missed and weird calls. Yeah, they just had, it was sometimes refs have bad nights and bad crews and they get graded. But it was one of those that just had so many weird, you know, like usually obvious ones and you're like, what? You know, and then they called the three, three was terrible because he jumped into, I think it was Anton and Anton literally was like, dude, I jumped out of the way. You could read his lips. And so, yeah, they had a bad one. That's kind of why they stuck in the game a little bit. And I normally think it's a loser's mentality to complain about officiating a lot or blame it. You know, when I coach my kids' teams in high school and in college, like I always had coaches, I would like be really upset if you constantly complain because it's just it's a loser's mentality. Where you get, well, the ref screwed us tonight. It's like, well, at this level, maybe a little bit you can argue that, but they're graded and they usually call it pretty, you know what I mean? If you go back and watch the tape, blah, blah, blah. Like it's, they're not, there's no, it's not the 1970s where they can just like homer you and nobody will see the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. Know what I mean? So
it was just one of there was this, I feel like there was a ton going on, but looking at the stats now, I was just like, even if the calls were going against us, sometimes they had 25 fouls for our 14. It was just,
there's an old NBA thing though that guys used to talk about, and I bet you they still do it. Like if you get into a game and let's say you're getting blown out or you're not going to win, you know, you're down 15 or 20, and that was a 20 was different 15, 20 years ago, you know, than it is now in the NBA. And if the fouls were like 12 to 6, they would go beep, 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 beep at the end of the game, and they'd be like, it was 12 to 10 in the second half. You know what I mean? They'd give them all to you late in the game, and then they could always go to the box score like, what are you talking about? It wasn't even, and it happened all the time. Yeah. And it was crafty by the officials because they would just go, sure. And then they always have an out like, what are you, this guy's crazy. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like, it was 12 to 10. And four of those came in the last 3 minutes when the game was out of hand.
Interesting,
right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, sometimes that the fouls called is interesting. Officials think about that. I know that it's maybe not a, they think of it at the top of their mind, but it's a subconscious thing. Yeah. And it's an easy, like I said, it's an easy way to, like,
I've talked CYA, to a, I've talked to a ref about this, about like, cause I was like, he's a good friend. And I was just like, hey, like when you're reffing basketball, like, do you like make up calls? He's like, oh, 100%.
Oh yeah. No, like, I think actually that's the right way to ref too.
Yeah.
I think there's times when you have to do it. You know, where you, if you make a bad call, you know, you just wait a couple or you give a ticky-tack one to put them back on the free throw. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's good officiating, and I call it out all the time on the broadcast. If I see it, I'm like, oh, that was a makeup call. That's good officiating. I don't mind. People go crazy when, you know, like if you go up and get bumped and it wasn't crazy contact, but it was enough to make you miss. I like when refs wait to see if you miss it and then whistle. People are like, it's so late. It's like he's trying to let the game flow. Now, if you make it, he doesn't call anything in the game. I think it's great officiating. Mm-hmm. So you just wait. Oh, he missed it. Beep. I'm going to call it. And people lose their minds. I'm like, I think that's how it should be called sometimes because he's trying to let it go. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So there's a lot of nuance in officiating. It's hard, man, too. Like, I wouldn't want to be official. And that's not even trying to be funny. Like, it's really tough to move up and then. You know, you're always scrutinized and blah, blah, blah.
There's so many eyes on you now. Like, it's just...
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. But, yeah, thanks to our sponsors, McGilvery Environmental, Idaho Central Credit Union, and HDG Architecture. Like I said, we'll be back next week talking about St. Mary's recap and then the preview for Portland and then Kentucky. That'll be fun. And I got a couple Cal stories that are pretty good and you know, things of that nature. Play with a lot of guys. Not a lot, but I played with some Kentucky guys too that, you know, I played at Nevada, or why did I say Nevada? Memphis. Mm. You know what I mean? So, like, he's a funny cat. Good dude. But yeah, thanks for listening.